Amen. I'm reading a beautiful novel. It's called Snowflower and the Secret Fan. It takes place in ancient China. Back in the days when women had to have their feet bound, they would take a little girl of 6 years old about, and they would wrap her feet, turning the toes, all but the first toe, underneath the foot. Every 4 days, they'd rewrap tighter until the bones broke. A woman was considered desirable if she walked upon what they call lily feet. The ideal foot was no bigger than your thumb. Into this world, a little girl named Snowflower was born. She was born into a wealthy and educated family. Her grandfather was a scholar who worked in the emperor's court. They had everything they could want. But her father was weak, and he became addicted to the opium pipe. As his addiction grew, he began to sell off their belongings. Snowflower's older siblings fled, the servants fled, until it was just her and her mother living in fear of his rages and the stench of his addiction. But Snowflower had an aunt who was a matchmaker, one of the few professions that women could hold. Her business was finding matches for people, making husbands and wives that could have good children, sons, for the future of the kingdom. Snowflower's aunt was wise, and she knew that her niece was at risk of being sold as a slave. So she decided to establish a special kind of match that was known only in China. It was called a Lao Tung match. This was a match not between a husband and wife, but between two little girls. If their horoscopes aligned, they would have their feet bound on the same day. And after their feet healed, they would go to the temple of Gupo and there sign a contract. They would make a covenant that they would be friends for life, faithful to each other, above all else, above their husbands, above their families. No matter what happened, they would care for each other as what they call old sames. Snowflower's aunt searched the countryside for a girl with a horoscope that matched her niece's. She found a little girl in a neighboring village, the daughter of a farmer whose name was Lily. She promised Lily's family that Lily would be married into a rich family in Tonghu if she agreed to be a Lao Tung, and that Snowflower would teach her manners and etiquette and everything she needed to know. And so the two girls had their feet bound on the same day. And 1 year later, they met each other for the first time, face to face. They signed a contract, a covenant together, and they decided to pass a fan between them, each one writing a little verse on the fan for each event of their lives. What is a covenant? A covenant is an ancient concept that spans the globe across cultures. It is an agreement between two individuals, a promise to remain faithful and true above everyone else. In the centuries before Jesus, when two individuals in the Hebraic tradition made a covenant, it was called in Hebrew cutting a covenant, because to symbolize the covenant, they would cut an animal in half. I know, poor animal. And then both parties would walk in the gap between the two pieces. In other words, to say, we are now one, and if we break this covenant, we will be split. Our own selves will be split. We will suffer pain. We will be fractured because we now have merged as one. If you remember in the story of the Garden of Eden, the first human being, Adam, was made to fall into a dark and deep sleep, and that human was split into male and female. So the covenant was to remind two people that they were one. And if they broke the covenant, they would be fractured. Long ago, many centuries before Jesus, there was a man who found that he believed in one God. And God called this man and made a covenant with him. His name was Abram, but later God would call him Abraham, adding in the Yahweh part, putting God in the middle of his name. Abram was called by God, and God said, if you believe in me, if you trust me, if you leave your home and everything you know, I will take you into a new land, and I will make your descendants as many as the sand on the seashore. So Abram leaves Ur of the Chaldeans and walks out into the desert, into what will become the land of Israel. Years and years pass, and Abram still hasn't had a child. So Abram says to God, I know I'm supposed to trust you, but right now the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. How's this supposed to work about all this descendant stuff? God says, Abram, look up at the sky. Try to count the stars. That's how many descendants you will have. Then God makes Abram fall into a deep sleep. And Abram in the Hebrew experiences a deep and dazzling darkness, just like the first human. God has asked Abram to split animals in half, a cow, a ram, a she-goat, and to lay them down on the ground. And then God causes Abram to fall asleep, and Abram has this vision. And in the vision, God doesn't lead Abram between the pieces. God steps between the pieces as a flaming torch and a smoking pot. It is God who moves between in that gap, in that space where the division lies. God passes. In other words, God is saying, not only do I make a covenant with you, but I stand in the gap. If this covenant is fractured, I will suffer. I will be divided. I will feel pain. Jesus wants us all to be gathered together. In the gospel, he says he's like a hen who wants to gather her chicks into one place. But we keep refusing. We do not want to come together. I think of the descendants of Abraham, Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and of what is happening in the Holy Land right now, how they are killing one another, and how much it must make God weep. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. God wants us to follow and to stand in the gap when there is division and hatred and fear. But it's very, very hard to do. Last weekend, the retired Bishop of Georgia led a workshop with the clergy here in the diocese about conflict. He talked about how there were different levels of conflict. The worst kind is so bad that you can't bring people together at all. But if there's still some common ground, if there's a way that you can meet in the middle, that you're supposed to find something that the two parties hold in common, maybe they can talk about their mothers or their love of the movies or flowers or whatever. You get them to talk about something personal that they could hold in common. And then you create ground rules. They have to respect each other. There can be no name calling. There can be no violence. And then you start to tread upon the areas in which they disagree. Slowly, carefully, and with firm boundaries for behavior and respect. In that space, in between the disagreement, that's where miracles can happen. That's where transformation can occur. It is difficult for God to work towards unity when we're at two corners of a room screaming at each other on social media. I have never remembered a more divided time than we are in this country. But no matter how offended you are by someone's opinion, I believe that you and I, as children of Abraham, we are called to follow God into the gap, into the space between, and to try to find some kind of common ground, and to work firmly and strongly with good behavior, not to resort to insults or slander or all the things that are pouring out of our media all the time, but to remember that that space in between, that is holy ground. That is where transformation occurs. We will never change another person's mind by yelling at them from a distance. Snowflower and Lily grew up to be beautiful women. But Snowflower had to marry into the home of a butcher, one of the lowest castes in China. His profession was considered polluted and dirty. Lily moved into the highest-ranking family in Tonghu. She became a Lu. But they kept in touch and wrote letters, and whenever they could, they saw each other. And Lily would send Snowflower food and encouragement. But as the years passed, Snowflower started to talk more and more about her pain. Her husband beat her. She had stillborn children. Lily became overwhelmed with anxiety and fear for her friend. So she started giving Snowflower a lot of advice. Just hold fast. Just do the right thing. Remember, you have to be faithful to your husband. At first, Snowflower agreed, but as the years passed, she wrote a letter saying, "I wish you would listen to me. The women in my village listen to me, but you don't." When Lily read those lines, she was enraged. She assumed that Snowflower was breaking their Lao Tong relationship, that she was confiding in other women and becoming better friends with them. And so Lily broke the covenant. She stopped speaking or writing or helping Snowflower at all. And her heart became fractured. She became full of anger and misery, stewing in her resentments for years. Many years later, Snowflower's daughter came knocking on her door. "I beg you," she said, "my mother is dying. Please come. She asks for you." Sometimes it takes death or disease to bring us into the gap again. In that moment, Lily forgot all of her resentments, and she ran to Snowflower's bedside, and she said, "I'm here, old same. I'm here." And Snowflower said, "I knew you'd come. I never did leave you. You were always my Lao Tong." Lily began to cry. Her heart began to mend, and she nursed her friend until Snowflower passed away. I ask you, if we are to begin to knit together the fabric of our society, we have to do it one-on-one. Is there someone in your life who you've become estranged from, or someone whose political views offend you, or someone who you just can't tolerate? Could you try to move into the gap between you? Could you find some common ground? Could you pray for them? Whenever we fracture from one another, we crucify Jesus over and over again. But he still rises and he waits for us. He waits for us to come back to the holy ground between each other and try again. Amen.